Welcome to Wonders, a one-hit wonder podcast. I am your host, Ian Zandi, a comedian out of LA. Happy New Year! We are recording this in the past, but it's not that much of the past, but it's still 2021. We are living underground now. It's quite unfortunate. Not yet. But no, thank you for listening. This is yet another episode. I believe this is episode 4. Having a lot of fun with this. The audio sounds great by now. Finally fixed all the flaws. The setup, the premise of this podcast, of course, I have a comedian, usually a friend of mine. They pick a one-hit wonder. There's no rules. We go on weird tangents. Last time we talked about Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth, whether or not if he eats bananas. So that's the kind of vibe you're going to get on this podcast. Today we have a friend of mine, a great person, hilarious. They're a lover of green curry. They have a cat named Cake. They're a part of the sketch group Friendo. They're a creator, a writer, a director, a what have you, of Are You Not Entertained? ? Please welcome Sumner Levesque.
Hey, hello, Ian.
Hello.
Oh, man. I feel honored that I'm on the episode where you got your audio strained out. I didn't know the red carpet was rolled out for me.
Just for you. I'm like, oh no, he's gonna judge me if I don't have those decimals figured out.
That's what I'm here for. That's why I'm everybody's best friend.
And what do you think? Does this sound straightened out?
Oh, we'll have to see at the end, Ian. I don't predict the future, Ian.
Oh, right. You don't?
Oh no, God. I'm just very critical. Yeah. No, it sounds great. We were just talking about beforehand. I used to have a podcast where my audio was all over the place and terrible, because like you have a simple setup, and I had to like get digital interfaces and all sorts of crap to get it to work, and it was a nightmare every time.
Oh no, I could probably make it sound even better if I wanted to do that, but I am not that invested in my listeners. But no.
Oh man. I'm so sorry, everybody who's listening. I apologize on Ian's behalf.
It's a one-way relationship.
That's very true.
But no, thank you. You've been running Are You Not Entertained in Quarantine even. How's that been going?
Yeah. Oh, man. So originally it was supposed to be a stage show, and we did one stage show, which you were in. And that was great. We also did a pitch show before that as well. I guess what we've done technically too. But then Noah and Jackie and I, who do Are You Not Entertained, all got together. We're like, cool. We had one meeting in person, and then quarantine happened. And we're like, oh, crap. Like, what are we going to do? So we've had to reinvent the show, aka just do a regular sketch show and not do the crazy, insane conceptual thing we were doing before. But it's been fun because like everything is green screen now. So like it's almost like a mixture between animation and actually filming a sketch, because I have to keep inserting people into stuff. There was the sketch you were in recently where there was a bunch of carolers.
Oh, yeah.
I had to just like layer people on top of each other. But it's been good. And like one thing I was always worried about was like, oh, we need to get like videos of our sketches and make sure to put them up. And now they're all videos. So that problem is solved thanks to a pandemic.
No. I feel it kind of fits the vibe of your show too. I mean, it was like mad scientist themed, I think, the physical show. And I don't know, that aesthetic kind of carries over to the green screen based concept that it is now.
Yeah, I made like a 2-minute long trailer, which is a mistake. If you ever make trailers for your sketch show, do no longer than 30 seconds. So I did a whole 2 minutes where I was like, oh, the scientists are gone and we don't know where they are. So we're going to have LA's most underground comedians do whatever sketch comedy they want. And there's like this whole dramatic thing with dramatic classical music and stuff. And it's like, maybe one person saw it and didn't know what was going on. Like, no one knows who these scientists are. We had one show with a scientist, so it's like, but yeah. And actually, I really feel like it's in a good place right now organically. Like, it organically kind of creates itself, and because it's just us like screwing around on the internet and stuff, it's actually been nice to kind of like basically take hard, you know, to swing hard essentially with every sketch.
No, I definitely see that. I mean, I say this as a compliment. Friggin' weird, like the tone, the very long pauses and everything. Like you probably couldn't get away with that on a regular show. But I am glad you're doing it and that somebody's making weird content.
Hey, well, thank you. You're welcome, world. Someone had to do it, and we stepped up.
The Twin Peaks of comedy.
Oh, hey, that's a good. Wow, I feel honored. I don't even know if we deserve that.
I honestly think that.
Oh, well, you know, Ian, bless you. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful compliment. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. But we brought you on today to talk about a song.
Yeah,
that you picked, is How Bizarre.
That's right, by OMC, or also known as Otara Millionaires Club.
That is correct, which I freaking love that name. I think they pulled that name kind of as a joke, because what was the O stand for? It's a city, I'm sorry. Otari? Is that what you said?
Oh, Otara. But that's the idea. Otara is a neighborhood in Auckland, New Zealand, that's like one of the poorest neighborhoods in Auckland, New Zealand. And so it's just kind of like a play on that, because I'm pretty sure Polly and Phil, his brother, they're from there. I think that's where they grew up.
Yeah, I think that's what I read too. So it's kind of an ironic name.
It's what Wikipedia calls a tongue-in-cheek reference.
Which I love. And we can't play the song, unfortunately, because of weird copyright reasons and stuff like that for podcasts. But the good thing about One Hit Wonders, everyone freaking knows these songs. Like, I guarantee if you clicked on this episode, you know this song.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you had to. I mean, like, that's the first thing you're like, what? How is someone talking about this song? And actually, when I was looking up different, like, One Hit Wonders to talk about, I was going through them and I saw How Bizarre and I was like, no, that's it. That has to be the song, because like, I mean, growing up listening to this, like, it just reminds me of like being in like my mom's like 90s Volvo station wagon or like other friends minivans in like elementary school, middle school, and like all the songs back then, because when you're that young, a lot of times we hear pop music, it's just all good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it all, even though a lot of it could be like total crap. And this was one song that when it would come on, it was almost like we could take a break. Like all the other pop hits, like we're all like dancey and like high energy. And then there's this one, for some reason, was like the chillest pop song on the radio at the time.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely an outlier. It's not, I mean, this is a weird comparison, but kind of like Fireflies, the Owl City song. This came much, much later, but where this is like nothing else on the radio. It's kind of chill and uplifting. Why is this? It doesn't feel like anything else on the radio.
Yeah. In fact, I found a quote from this guy named Simon Gregg from Records, which is the company that put out the album, self-titled How Bizarre, or not self-titled. It is How Bizarre. But this is literally the quote. It's a little long, but he said, the album is a fusion of mishmash of sounds that New Zealanders are exposed to. It's classic Kiwi strum meets punk rock meets disco meets a South Pacific beach party meets classic soul meets reggae and everything in between. So basically all music is in this one album.
When we go to space and we have to teach aliens what music is on Earth, they send this album.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is all music.
If you that's like the next Voyager that's sent out, it's just got a copy of
OMC's How Bizarre. Yeah.
Aliens listening to it like, I get it. Yeah, this is, yeah. Wow, what a lot of culture. One album. But it is actually, listening to it though, it is actually, they do attempt at a lot of different genre of music though.
Yeah, it kind of jumps around. I didn't listen that much to the other songs, but it does have kind of like a Vampire Weekend record where it has the same sound overall, but each song feels like a different genre.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I was also thinking of like Beck.
Beck's another very good example. Yeah.
Yeah, and like also like I was actually kind of like surprised that the album is not terrible. Because I was like listening to How Bizarre as a kid, it was like, oh yeah, it's a pop song, and I was just like, you know, whatever. And as you get older, you're just like, oh, like I don't know about those pop songs or whatever and stuff like that.
Yeah,
not to say that that in college I still listen to Ace of Base, but But like, yeah, like I just didn't expect this album to be that great. And then the first song, On the Run, is actually a super tight song. It's got like a really good beat. It's got some weird, cool, like steel guitar. And Ooh. The way like it's rhymed very quickly and kind of manically. But the idea of the song is like this guy is like committed a crime. He's on the run. And so it fits like super well together. And the music video is fun. It's got a lot of like 50s kind of like it. Not Quentin Tarantino. It'd be like Quentin Tarantino was in Hawaii or something.
That sounds like an Ernest movie. Like Ernest goes to Hawaii, Quentin Tarantino goes to the bank, Quentin Tarantino joins the army. I don't know what the other Ernest movies are.
I think he did actually make that. He made that movie though. That was Inglourious Basterds. I don't know if.
Oh yeah, that's true. And I guess technically he's in all his movies. So
it's very true. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But yeah, like I was just pleasantly surprised that like the album was actually not that bad.
Oh yeah, because you never know. But it turns out with a lot of these one-hit wonders, maybe the other songs on the album aren't as good. They're not necessarily hit radio singles, but like they're usually pretty good.
Yeah, oh, they're totally not too bad, and like, some of them are like, and there are some bad songs on these albums. there's Lingo with a Gringo, which is one of the songs he has. it sounds like somebody just took like beats off of GarageBand and put something together and tried to like rap about something that was like super serious when they were in high school. but it actually is not too bad. In fact, actually, what is it? Spin magazine in the 90s gave it like an 8 out of 10.
Oh wow, the whole album?
The whole album. Yeah,
that's a pretty good rating.
That's a super good rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was super surprised. I mean, it did get mixed ratings though. There were like some people that were just like, oh, this isn't living up to his own potential. I think like All Music, which obviously was way later, was like 2.5 out of 5 stars, like meh. And there was like another, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'm like looking through all of my real notes. It's good I have notes. But
no, then, absolutely. You have all these pull quotes.
But then like
my note is, sounds like they got an acoustic guitar in here.
Yeah, trumpet and accordion.
Pretty girl in music video. No.
Yeah, more than one pretty girl in music video.
Yeah. You brought your A game, and I love that.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, oh, that's his name. Oh, I can't even say his last name, but Robert Christgau, who's a music critic and essayist. Mm-hmm. He said that On the Run is a choice cut, which is that song I was mentioning before, the first one, which honestly, yeah, if you haven't listened to it, because I had not, you should go out and listen to that song. It actually is really fun, and the music video is cool. But then he said this album isn't worth your time or money.
Oh, I don't think I actually did listen to that song. So I'll after we end this podcast, when it will be completely useless, I will go back and listen to that song.
That's what you can regret. Swallow in regret that you hadn't listened to On the Run by OMC. but yeah, it's super good.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the meaning of the song?
Yeah, let me just for the background, I'm going to read off the Wikipedia just for the basis of this song. And then we could talk about the meaning.
It's not my podcast. You have a good point. So
No. You're good. How Bizarre is a single written and recorded by New Zealand musical group OMC. It was released in December 1995 as the lead single from their only album of the same name. Does that imply they have other albums of other names?
I don't think they did. Oh, they did actually come together.
I think they have two albums, right?
They definitely had How Bizarre, and I know they got back together in 2007 after they broke up in 98.
Yeah.
And they do. They have a certain hit I'm gonna leave later for the trivia section of the podcast, but they might have had an album then. But as far as I know, How Bizarre I think is the only like studio album that they had.
Yeah, still a weird way to phrase it, Wikipedia. And went to the top of the charts in at least 5 countries: Australia, Canada, Ireland, and New Zealand. Oh, not here. Which we are in the U.S., by the way. I know we have a Brazil listener. I checked the stats on that. Hi. Outside New Zealand.
I'm sorry that wasn't translated to Portuguese.
I'm going to look up how do you say hi in Portuguese. Hi in Portuguese.
It's going to sound super cool and pretty sexy, whatever it is.
Oh, this is even better.
Is one of those.
It's yeah, oi.
It's one of those. One of the best ones. Oi!
Oi! Sound like we're in a ska band. Or a bunch of pirates.
They probably got it from Brazil. They probably
honestly, probably.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, possible. You never know.
Outside New Zealand, OMC is generally considered a one-hit wonder. They had a further few successful singles in New Zealand, including Land of Plenty. That's about it for the wiki intro, but that gives a general. It was popular everywhere else, and here in the U.S. we're like, we like this one thing from you.
Yeah. Well, it was weird with the U.S. because, like, it was actually in the top Billboard's top 40 for 32 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that's over half a year. That's a pretty damn good long time.
Yeah, and in August 97, they got number one. But the thing was, there's some weird thing about how, like, the single wasn't available in the U.S. during that year, so it wasn't actually counted in, like, the top singles. So, yeah, like, where other countries it was already available and they were able to include them in that. I think, like, U.K., it did go to number five in the charts in late 96, but then the single itself was, like, number 36 out of all the singles. So
that's also... Yeah. Like something that would never happen today, whereas you could just send an MP3 over the internet and someone would have the single rather than, oh, we have to go find physical copies of this in a record store.
Well, I think that is true. It, like, definitely is easier now. But I know, humble brag, I was in a band at one point.
Ooh.
Still technically am in. It's a little bit on hiatus. But when we were thinking about Europe and, like, selling in Europe and stuff, you actually have to get on a record label in Europe to sell your music in Europe. Whoa. So there might have been something with that where, like, they were from New Zealand, which, by the way, I did not know OMC was from New Zealand.
I didn't either.
That was a huge surprise for me.
The only other popular, like, singer offhand that I know from New Zealand is, like, Lord. The Royals singer. I think there's someone else.
Maybe the Flight of the Conchords, technically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're both from New Zealand. I can't pronounce his name, but that director.
That guy. You know
from
him.
Jojo Rabbit.
Taika Waititi.
Thank you. That's exactly. Yeah. He's from New Zealand.
He is from New Zealand.
Not a singer, though.
Is Peter Jackson from New Zealand?
I think he is. Wait, maybe. I don't know if he is himself, but he shoots everything.
As far
there.
As I understand, he filmed a lot in New Zealand, but I don't know if he's actually from there. For some reason, I felt like he was, but I could be wrong.
No, and they're the only country in, like, the whole freaking world that has their shit together right now. With no cases of coronavirus for the future.
Yeah, also known as nerds. A bunch of nerds. on freaking two islands. They can't even bring their country together. God.
I do want to visit. It's a beautiful country.
It is. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I when I was a kid, I got to visit New Zealand. I don't know if people know who I even am, but if you do know who I am, you may not know this about me. That I lived overseas as a kid, and so we traveled, and I got to go to New Zealand twice. And it's gorgeous. It's stunning. It's really beautiful. And, like, first of all, everybody speaks English, kind of a bonus. So it's easy to kind of figure stuff out. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's great. It's awesome. Whenever we get our you know, stuff together, all of us, let's all go to New Zealand all at once.
Yeah. I wanted to go there as a kid, but mostly because I don't know if you recall this show, Rocket Power.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had, like, a special or a movie where they all went to New Zealand. I'm like, I want to go to not that it's even a real show or anything. It's just about, like, extreme sports. But I'm like, they're going to New Zealand. I want to go to New Zealand.
That's super fun. Yeah. Yeah. Rocket Power was tight. That was, like, I feel like for me, that was, like, towards the end of me watching Nicktoons. But I definitely caught Rocket Power for like the first season or two.
Yeah.
That was a fun show. That was cool. What they were like, what was it like? It was like, where were they based? Like Venice or something?
I don't know. It was like a mock-up Long Beach Venice sort of hybrid, it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. A little, maybe a little San Pedro or something.
No, it got me super into extreme sports, but like in a poser way, where it's like, oh, I would go to a skate park, but just watch everyone. I want to do it myself, but
yeah. But yeah, that was like, and it was like pretty like wholesome. Like the whole family like got together and stuff. They had like, what was it, like a taco stand?
Yeah, I think they owned a taco stand. Very based in like Hawaiian culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I freaking love that show.
It's a good show. Yeah, it's a fantastic show. That's awesome that like they went to New Zealand. I don't remember that, but that's very cool. There's like a lot of like surfing there and stuff, and it's a lot of sheep.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, tons of sheep.
Yet they don't mention sheep in this song. I don't think
they don't. Not in the entire. I listened to the entire album. No sheep.
They do mention other animals though, and we'll get into that. but speaking of which, what is the Or we'll talk about this first. You mentioned like the Volvo wagon. Do you have any other like specific memories with this song?
That's kind of the main one. Like, definitely like getting older and listening to like when they're like, "Hey, buy the rights." I was like, "Oh, this is-
I do love that." That we'll talk about that real quick. That line of he's basically the whole song. He's telling a story. And then he stops at one point. He's like, "Hey, if you want to know more, buy the rights."
Yeah, I remember, like, as a kid, being like, "Oh, that's cool." Like, but also, are they cooler than me? And I can't hang out with. Like, what is? I had like a whole complex about it.
You're not good enough.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, me? Oh, come on, OMC." but yeah, like. But definitely, I will say, like, just researching it for this podcast and all, like, well, the whole story and like kind of a little bit about where they came, like grew up and came from and stuff. Like, it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, they say that because there's even there's a quote actually from Pauly when he was talking with Reuters in '97, and he said like, I put a lot of hidden stories in there so people could read between the lines and sense it for what it was instead of telling them, yeah, we got pulled over by the cops. My mate got his head smashed in. We got arrested and they found some pot on him. which like, I was like, whoa, okay. So like, it's definitely like, it's not like there could be where it's like, oh, this is fun and weird and bizarre. But it seems like what it's more of a metaphor of is just like shit they went through and possibly their fame. Cause it's kind of like, I don't really know. Like, if he tried to keep very like reclusive or not, there's not a ton of information that I found on him, like his personal life. But yeah, so they like saying that like, oh yeah, buy the rights. It's like, yeah, like, you know, it's like, I'll tell you these fun stories, but like, you know, it's my business. It's not yours.
Yeah. Like, that was actually something that I kind of got a gist of is New Zealand didn't really have a lot of celebrities or let alone celebrity singers. Which I don't think they would really know that they would be famous while writing the song about them commenting on themselves being famous, but just the fact that they're not used to it. And maybe it's a comment on like media culture buying and adapting everything. But even that seems ahead of their time. 'Cause this was mid-90s.
Yeah. They recorded it in 95. Yeah.
Yeah.
So literally mid-90.
Yeah, so that would even be pre-OJ, I think, right?
I think OJ was...
When was OJ?
Before. I think OJ was in, like, the early 90s.
So maybe it's a comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely think, though, like, it's for sure some kind of commentary on, like, how they live their lives just kind of, like, hanging out and growing out and stuff, and then, like, other forces around them are overwhelming, and this is kind of one way... Whoa! Sorry, my computer dinged. but this is kind of one way that he can kind of describe this, what's around him as being very overwhelming in a way that's fun and entertaining. But also just like with the buy the rights kind of thing where it's like, yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, my life is private and you know, you go do your own thing. We do our own thing. So yeah, I don't know if I like, from what I could tell, I couldn't really get a good actual understanding of what the song is about. But it just seems like he basically is just like, oh, like he said, there's hidden stories. So it's referencing other stuff in his life. I did, however, put together a basic synopsis of the lyrics.
Ooh, what's that? I want to hear
okay,
that.
So if in case you've never heard the song, this is what happens, okay? So they got pulled over. The car was noticed by the cop. They then get gas, and they see a poster of an old-time circus. At the circus, it's announced that the elephants have left town, but the clowns have stayed. They seem to have partied when helicopters all of a sudden show up, along with, in this order, the Marines, the police, and reporters.
So down.
The most extreme is the reporters in this game.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, like the Marines are first. The police have to come to save them. And then there's the
reporters. We need backup. Send
yes, send in the police. Send in Auckland Speedy. And then they leave. And then in order to find out what happened, you have to buy the rights. The whole event seemed to have been bizarre.
It doesn't seem like they murdered anyone or anything. They were just maybe partying and maybe a circus in town.
I don't know. My guess is like the circus must have been a party they went to or something, but then the Marines and elephants leaving town, like what happened?
Maybe their Marines are not weaponized in in New Zealand, and they're just like, "Oh, they're coming to party with us."
That's it. You're all gonna get a stern talking to.
Hey, don't make me hug you. That would be something New Zealand would do, in the best way.
They instead of fighting, they just get the emotions out of the other side, and then they talk about it.
They write hit songs about it.
I mean, you know, like, and in a way, maybe that also protects them. It's like other countries that want to invade. They're like, I'm not ready to talk about that. That is my own person. Let's go somewhere else. Australia seems free. Let's go invade them. That'll be fine.
Oh, goddamn. I love New Zealand.
they're pretty cool.
Yeah, but in general, it seems like a general laughing at the absurdity of life sort of vibe. Kind of but. Hakuna Matata? Yes.
I guess so. Yeah, it's like, well, like there's also that line where it's like every time I look around, it's in my face. Like it seems like, I don't know. And the other thing too that I don't know about, and really as a white cis male may not be able to talk about it so much, but like there might have been some like racial tensions there too. Like I can imagine because his dad is let me see if I get the I have to go down. Ugh. I know his mom is Maori.
It's okay. Just,
native New Zealand. And then his dad was from an island. He's Niuean is the term. I was from an island.
God damn it. They remade me.
I know, right? So I didn't know. So I was wondering, like, because I don't know a lot about like racial tensions in New Zealand or not. It might be a comment on that. He does have like a number of songs later on where like he talks about how beautiful New Zealand is and everything and everybody like coming together and stuff. So there's a chance that like that might have been part of it, but I don't know. I know Australia has had issues like with racism issues and stuff.
Yes.
With
the Aborigines and all.
But like I don't really know anything about New Zealand as far as that goes. But that might have been part of it. I don't know.
There can't possibly be that many people in New Zealand either, from what I understand. They have a pretty low population, but even then there could still be tension.
It was funny because like when I was reading about how it became number one in New Zealand, it's like it became number one, like the top hit in New Zealand, a whole 35,000 albums sold.
It doesn't take much.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was great. It was like, yeah, I guess for New Zealand that is a big deal. A whole 35,000. And at least, and this is in the 90s too, when everybody bought albums. Like,
oh yeah.
You had music, you actually had to go out and buy the $20 CD with like all of your money.
From the one record store in New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's the other thing. There probably weren't, I mean, depending on where you were, especially, but like even in Auckland, I would imagine there's probably only a couple places, but I don't know. we'll comment on that. If anyone's in New Zealand wants to call in, let us know.
Call in now. Now's your. I will give a dead space right now.
The number. Let's.
Nope, nobody called in.
All right. We tried.
Nope. I gave you the chance. Yeah. You can't say that.
Everything we say is accurate.
Because it's on the internet.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It's interesting. I think, like, looking into the lyrics more, it definitely, like, paints a picture better. And the other thing, I know we're not talking about the music video, but the entire time of the music video, and almost in all his music videos and pictures, he's got, like, a serious face. He, like, seems to keep his cool all the time.
Does he wear sunglasses in it? In my mind, he does, but I don't remember if he does.
I think he does in certain parts, but, like, there's plenty of, like, him without sunglasses, for sure. Like, when he's... I mean, well, you might as well get into the music video now that we're on this topic. he like wears like a lot of like 60s swanky suits and stuff. And like, I don't know. I wonder if he's like, because I know like On the Run, it looks like it's like a reference to like 50s and 60s kind of like clothing, colors and like scenery. And like even like in some other music videos he has, like when they're driving a bus, like there's like a more festive looking Elvis that drives the bus. So I feel like he might be like super influenced by like 50s and 60s like American culture and like car culture and rock and stuff. But you know, he doesn't really wear sunglasses too often. He does wear them occasionally, but not too often. That's a long answer to that question.
No, it's all good. If you could describe this song in 3 words. Those three words.
Chill would probably be one of them for sure. Other 2 words I would say for the song. It's fun. Like, it's chill and fun. And I would also say, these are really basic words. I'm so sorry. But I would also say it's kind of surprising. And the only reason I say that is because, like, listening back to it, I didn't realize how much the accordion and trumpet really made that song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and those are not typical instruments in a pop song, especially at the time.
Like, no, I mean, unless it was like, ska was big in this period, but.
That's true.
I mean, this is not a ska song.
No, it's definitely not ska. Yeah, like, but it just works so well. It's so perfectly done. And that's the thing, like, does. And this whole album, like, you have steel guitar in certain parts, which is done by a guy named Glenn Campbell.
What? I didn't catch that. But yeah. It's not the Glenn Campbell?
I don't think so. I kept trying to, like, I was like, oh, Glenn Campbell, OMC, this song. Didn't find anything. I think it's probably just a guy in New Zealand named Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, that's got to be a common name. But that's very funny. I would have put that in the trivia.
I think I might have, but I already screwed it up, but whatever. I don't know. We're here now. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
But yeah, like steel guitar and like a whole bunch of different instruments are used in this album, which is pretty tight. And I think that's like why like it got a reference to Beck. In like in the 90s, because like it's sort of similar where like Beck would use a lot of different types of instruments and instrumentation and stuff, or maybe even little like Pet Sounds.
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind was going, where they just throw everything in the kitchen sink and make it work.
Yeah, like and it's definitely, but every song definitely is like inviting and like kind of laid back in its own way, even when it's like kind of intense, like that song On the Run, which is a more intense song. It still has this like kind of inviting feeling to it. That's like, which is super nice. It's like, even if they're talking about a serious thing, it is done in a way that's like as a friend, like telling you, like,
hey, I hate you, but as a friend. Okay.
As long as it's about my pure hatred for you, but you're going to dance.
I'm sorry. We're getting a divorce, but.
But this beat is good, right? I see your toe tapping. Come on, don't deny it.
That would be a great way to break news.
Yeah, turn on some beats and stuff. Actually, I have been, my girlfriend and I have been watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Recently,
which I, first of all, was like, oh, I don't know if I ever want to watch that show, just because I wasn't sure if it was my speed. I'm not a big musical guy. But watching it, it is a brilliant show.
Oh, yes.
It's a really good show. But like how all the song elements and stuff, like it is kind of like that where like some big heavy news or something comes up and they sing it and they break the fourth wall all the time with it. They're just like, hey, why are these people here and singing? And, you know, and it's like, oh, there's a song number where like it's well, I don't know if there's any spoilers or whatever.
It's OK. It's been out a couple of years.
Yeah. There's like in the third season, Rachel Rebecca breaks up with Nathaniel, and then Nathaniel, and I can't remember his name, but one of the main characters, he's like super buff. They go to the bar, they go to the gay bar and stuff, and then they're getting all sad and they're all dancing and sad and stuff. And then Josh shows up and they're like, oh, do you want to be in this imaginary song number with us? And he's like, sure.
That show is just so smartly written. I mean, Rachel Bloom, fantastic, very smart person, but the music too, by the late recently unfortunately Adam Schlesinger, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Schlesinger? Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know English language.
No, unfortunately passed of COVID recently.
Oh man, so sorry.
Yeah, young guy too. He wrote for Fountains of Wayne. Another one-hit wonder, actually. We'll talk about this eventually. but the music on that show, again, all different genres, and very, very funny. Definitely recommend.
Yeah, especially if you're not sure if you'd like it because it's a musical, like it is actually like even someone who doesn't enjoy musicals, I thoroughly love that show. And it's like, yeah, like you're saying, it's really good writing. It's super smart. And it's very engaging. Like it's easy to like consume. It's overwhelming at times, but it is easy to consume at the same time.
Yes. And I feel like the title throws a lot of people off because it's kind of misleading that it's not completely all just a rom-com or what have you. But it's kind of a play on that.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
to go back to this How Bizarre thing, what does the song mean to you? Like, what memories do you have of this song?
Yeah. My memory, actually, I used to play this when in the normal times, for Second City, as like a warm up pre-show song, and people would go nuts. I liked seeing people remember this song in their life because most people would be like, oh, I haven't heard this song in 20 years. And they would be jamming out to it. And I'm like, well, I've heard this song 5 times this week. I freaking love it. but no, I don't remember it much growing up, really. I mean, to age myself, I would have been a kid when this came out.
Yeah,
and I probably heard it, but I don't remember it.
I was gonna say, like, depending on, like, I was, so 95, 96, I was about 10 years old. So I was like end of elementary school going into middle school kind of when it was popular.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's when, like, kind of, at least for me, like once you get past like second and third grade, you start remembering a lot more. It's like you get, at least for me, it's like more memories than before.
Yes.
So like, it was definitely at a time where I was really listening to music and enjoying music a ton. So like that's why I remember it just super well. And like when I even saw this in a list of one-hit wonders, I was like, oh, this song like speaks to me. And I also feel like it's a little underappreciated too, just because it does sort of feel like a throwaway song in and amongst like a bunch of other pop songs.
Yeah.
But like it is like nice to you. It's pleasant. And it is also a pop song.
Yep, definitely agree. I would have been like 3, I think, when this came out. Same time. Like, I remember Sugar Ray, like being in a car seat and hearing Sugar Ray on the radio, which
we
haven't covered that yet. But I think maybe a little after this song.
I was just like, well, Sugar Ray, did they have a couple hits, though?
A couple. So, I mean, maybe someone will pick it. I the rules are loose if they pick it. I don't care. But yeah, they had like Every Morning, Fly, mm-hmm. When It's Over. Those are the only ones I know, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, Sugar Ray was huge, 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 huge back then for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just that's cool. That's interesting. you played it at Second City. That's fun.
Yeah.
Especially like people really getting into it. Cause it is one of those songs that like you play and people go, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, maybe it's kind of a chill song to be playing as a warm-up show, but it's at least it's like a dinner party thing where you're setting a mood. And it makes people happy, and that's what matters. But on that note, we'll head into a break. We'll come back. We touched on it a little bit. We'll talk more about the music video. We'll talk about some trivia, and we'll be back.
Bye.
Bye. And welcome back to Wonders, One Hit Wonder Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Zandi, talking here with Sumner.
Hello, I'm back. Well, we're back. I left. I came back.
Where'd you go?
I went on a short vacation up on the Catskills. Like it was kind of, it was me time. It was me time.
You know, feel refreshed.
I feel great now. I was in a place beforehand. Oh, I don't know if you could tell.
I really could. You were not. You sounded, frankly, like shit before. But now,
that's very fair. That's very fair. That's good feedback for me.
You're welcome. I tell all my guests what they sound like to me.
Always negative.
Always negative. I'm a reverse motivational speaker.
I'm a, your demotion.
Bring you down to my level.
Yeah. A demotion, motivational speaker. I don't know.
You suck. But no.
Now go get him, Tiger.
Talking about the music video now, you mentioned a little bit of it before. It's just kind of a soft glow over the whole thing. It's fun. It's mm-hmm. chill.
Very, very 90s.
I think he breathes fire at one point.
Yeah, he's well, because there is at a circus.
Oh, that makes sense. I thought it was more of a New Zealand thing.
No.
I mean, you know, New Zealanders can breathe fire.
Honestly, we gave them a chance to call in, and they didn't call in. So you know what? They all breathe fire. We gave New Zealand a chance, and they love it.
They just sound like they're dragons.
Yeah, pretty much. You've seen Lord of the Rings. Let's be honest. Let's be real.
At any point in that movie, they could have breathed fire, but they did not.
No, they brought in New Zealanders instead because they all breathe fire.
But it's
New Zealand canon.
It's completely true.
But he's at a because like the first part he's like in a, he's in the Chevy.
Yeah, the convertible. Yep. The
convertible. And he points to his friend in the back. And he like kind of just like introduces his friend, so they're there. And they get pulled over. They don't show the cop at all. They just show like his sunglasses like and like saluting sort of. When he like goes, oh, that's a Chevy, which you know, that's cool. I guess that is bizarre. I don't know.
Well, wait, is Chevy a American car brand?
Yeah, which actually, yeah. In context, now him being in New Zealand, that would be a big deal.
Yeah, I feel like that might be. I just thought of this too. Maybe they don't have a lot of imported cars. I feel like that would be very expensive.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, I have no idea. If they had like American cars, I know there were American, like Ford was there, but they mm-hmm. would make other types of cars sometimes. Like they do that all over the world. Like in Europe, there are certain cars that are Ford cars that are only for Europe and you don't get them in the States and stuff.
Cause the driving wheel's on the wrong side.
Cause it's on the wrong side.
Actually, I didn't catch that. I think it is. Are there streets the same way?
Yeah, so New Zealand, they drive on the left side of the road.
Which side do we? No, we drive on right. Okay, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's because I think, well, I mean, I don't, again, well, let's talk about their history.
Of New Zealand?
Yeah, let's canonize their history, too. But I believe it was like a lot of it was because like Australia, as far as I understand, it was like a big penal colony for the United Kingdom, like for England. I think, I don't know if New Zealand was that or not, but I know that there were a lot of missionaries that were there. There's like a big Christian community. But I don't know what else happened. But I know that there is a connection between them and England for sure.
Well, if you want to know the rest of the story, buy the rights.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly right.
The video has, I mean, the chorus has all the dancing ladies that we mentioned earlier. Just kind of like snippets. Doesn't tell too much of a story besides being pulled over.
Yeah, and then, well, they go to the circus, and the circus is like basically a stage with a lot of old circus posters, and they're dancing. They basically pick two locations to film for most of it. And then when like the accordion and the trumpet comes in at the end, he's like on an island or something by himself dancing. And then he's in a limo with a lot of women just like throwing money at the camera. Which
that's
is, like,
right. He's throwing
that's
money.
Not part of the story. Why is he in a limo with women now? I mean, good for him. But why is this happening?
I forgot about that part.
Back to the circus.
And again, this was written like before they were successful in everything, which is a power move. And respect that.
Yeah, that's true. Although I don't know, because I think there were, I want to say there were multiple music videos for the song. So that might have been made later.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I did see that there were multiple music videos, but I couldn't find them, but I also didn't look that hard. So this one with the convertible is the one that I saw.
Yeah, same. That's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, there's kind of something and it's confusing. All right.
Yeah, it sounded.
What's the first one on YouTube?
It implied that there were more.
But yeah, it must have been just like a 90s thing. Like, you know, if you're going to have a 90s music video and this is your hit, you're in a limo with women throwing money at the camera.
Yep, that's exactly the vibe.
That's like how you knew in the 90s if it was a hit or not. You have to wait, and you're like, oh, there's the okay, that shot was in there. Yeah, we should definitely be bumping that at the clubs.
Which is actually a good segue to the next question. If this song was made today, who do you think would be the one to make it? And maybe they make it in their own style, but this is a world where OMC doesn't exist, but this song exists.
That's a good question. Who could do this?
I have one person in mind.
You do? Okay, that'll help because I have no one in mind.
Okay, I'm thinking like a Bruno Mars, maybe.
Oh yeah, actually, that's a great suggestion. I could totally see Bruno Mars doing it for sure.
He's like a party guy, a kickback guy, generally likable, charismatic.
Actually, that would be great to see. I would love to see Bruno Mars do How Bizarre.
I would love to see him do it. Yeah. I mean, his own take on it. He puts trumpets and stuff in his songs too. Uptown Funk. I think that's Mark Ronson too. But yeah, I would love to see a Bruno Mars version.
Yeah, that would be great. I feel like that probably is the best person to do it, because like lately on the music I've been listening to is like the Cramps and then jazz and stuff. So I'm like, I like anything new, I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's Britney Spears.
Nah. Maybe. The Grammy nominations came out recently, and I looked at it, and I'm like, I know Taylor Swift on here, and Fiona Apple, and that's about it. I'm so floored by, but good for them. They're getting new talent in there, but I have no idea who all these people are.
Yeah. Side note, actually, Fiona Apple's, if anybody cares about this, Fiona Apple's recent album was number one for Pitchfork for 2020.
Oh yeah, it got a 10 out of 10, which Pitchfork never ever do.
They do not do that. Yeah, they have their own word for do. That's the thing. So.
Pitchfork.
Yeah,
it would. Oi.
They are way too. Yeah. Oi. Once again, hello. Translating for our American audience or English speaking audience.
I'm laughing so hard.
I don't know. I would there's I mean, I also feel like I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I would love to have do How Bizarre. Did you? I will say this. Did you know that OMC on the album does do, or actually, I'll leave it for the trivia. I'll leave it for the trivia. Never mind.
Leave it for the trivia. All right, we'll take it away. Yeah. And related, like usually I look up covers of the song, try and see if like anyone notable's done it. Usually Glee covers a lot of one hit wonders. It seems nobody's really, besides like YouTube ukulele covers, like nobody's really done this song.
I was actually gonna say the guy, I don't remember his name, but who did like the ukulele like Somewhere Over the Rainbow mixed with What a Wonderful World. I don't remember. Is.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's. I remember this because it's my initials.
that's good.
It's weird seeing because it's like huge. It's like him in a swimming pool, I think, on the album cover. And it's just big, giant red letters IZ.
Yeah. No, it's like I felt like he would cover it and everybody would love it again. Him doing a How Bizarre would be fun, but I also feel like someone like Bruno Mars would be better just because they would like really up the ante and actually make something fun and interesting with the song.
Yeah definitely agree on both accounts.
The thing is like it does have a lot of elements to it as far as musically, like, and OMC did experiment with a lot of different types of, you know, instruments and whatnot, and sort of with genre a little bit as well, that like you really do need someone who's going to go all out and do it. What's the guy's name? Forgetting everybody's name. The guy who did Illinois.
Oh, Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan Stevens did Help. That would be pretty great.
I can see it. Because he also throws like everything but the kitchen sink in his songs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that would be fun to do. It would probably be more emotional.
I was gonna say it would really be fucking sad.
That emotional How Bizarre.
How bizarre. Jesus Christ.
Man, I really want him to do a How Bizarre cover now. Isn't it sad how bizarre things are? God, it's like it's in my face, you know, just like
the elephants, cool. The military, the police. How bizarre. kind of a testament to how specific this song is and that it's kind of already perfected. It's gone viral. Again, while I was looking up the research for this show, it's gone viral in the recent weeks as like a TikTok meme.
That is really, I remember you had mentioned that before. I'm so surprised. I don't know. I mean, I guess things come back after a certain amount of years.
Yeah. I feel like there's some sort of correlation with like one hit wonders and turning them into memes. I mean, I know I have like an affinity for them, but it seems that other people are just like naturally gravitating where eventually we'll just have a meme for every one hit wonder, probably Blue Dabadee and everything.
Oh man.
But people
that's a one hit wonder.
Oh, I love it so much.
I'm not cool enough to do that episode.
No, and the music video is so cool too with the aliens. Look it up. We'll do that episode eventually.
Okay. Sign me up.
Well, what was I saying? Oh, the TikTok. They're using it as like a punchline, where it'll be like a setup and like, oh, I didn't do laundry. And then you walk into a room and the laundry's done. And then you look to the camera and it's how bizarre. That was a shitty example, but. but things like that.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, like it's so just kind of different. Just playing off of like the surprise of how bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. That's super fun.
Yeah, which is...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was going nowhere with that.
Nice. Very
cool. What were you about to say?
I was, you know what? I'll be honest, about to go nowhere.
How bizarre.
There we go. We did a TikTok.
Yay! We're doing audio-specific TikToks now.
You have to tune in the radio to get these TikToks.
I'm trying to think of what format, but I guess everything's moving to a video format. That's not even a Vine or anything.
Oh, yeah, poor Vine.
Oh, rip. Rip. Taylor.
Oh, hey.
Oi.
Oi, hello.
If they made a sequel of this song, which they can't for reasons we'll get into, what would that song be like?
Well, I did come up with one, and then I did find out a fact about him that made this a little bit more sad.
But
I'm just going to say it anyways, and this was just literally just thinking about how to do a hypothetical sequel to this song. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that he's on his deathbed, and he eventually tells us, the whole song is basically telling us what actually happened at the circus.
Oh,
and then when he's asked why he didn't tell us until now, and he said, because it was bizarre. And it's like this like Rosebud moment.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much.
The other suggestion was, my other suggestion was, they drive somewhere else and something normal but bizarre happens.
That's the premise of Hangover 2.
The Tangover Tude.
That's a term, Hangover Tude.
I was thinking like, yeah, what would they do? But I was like, no, they gotta know what happened at the circus. Like,
even the deathbed one. I mean, I kind of, it's dark, but it's a tribute to his life and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think we mentioned it yet. He in fact did pass away, I think, in 2010.
Right? Yeah, he did. He had, I tried to pronounce it and I had a hard time pronouncing it, but essentially he had nerve disorder. He had it affected his mobility, but he did. It was also pretty short. Like, he didn't have, I'll look up the name. I'll look up the name real quick.
I just wrote autoimmune disorder because the name was way too long.
You know what? That one works. That one works. But yeah, it was. I guess it was pretty short and sudden. He was only 41.
Yeah, really young. Which, yeah, that in 2010, and he wrote this in the late 90s, like, he must have been friggin' young.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, he probably was like, yeah, late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
And then it got huge. So
that's a crazy life to live.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre life.
How bizarre?
How bizarre. I think he would have been so proud of us to get to that conclusion.
I think so too. I think he's that kind of kickback.
What would your sequel be?
My sequel, all I wrote down was, that was bizarre. where it's him reflecting on the life events of how bizarre. So it's a meta song.
I thought it was like he listened back to the song and was like, whoa, that song was bizarre. I'm going to write a song about how I think the song is bizarre.
Oh, it's, yeah, basically that. Basically that.
He's just a continuously mystified man. He just always perplexed.
It's kind of a childlike wonder in that. I like that kind of character trait.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, like, he's never bored, which is good.
Speaking of never being bored,
yes.
We'll do some trivia. Usually I format this like a game show of sorts, where I give a question, a couple multiple choice answers. But it sounds like you have some trivia for me too.
Yeah, your boy here just wrote down a bunch of stuff. I did not do it in question format whatsoever.
No.
But I can. Hey, I'm going to try and make him questions. I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'll stand up to the challenge for sure.
Yeah. I'll do. We'll alternate then. Cool. So I'll start off with you. Let's see. First question. How many times is How Bizarre said in the song? Is it 24, 9, or 69?
This is a good question. I desperately, desperately want 69 to be the right answer.
Nice.
That's probably 24. I'm going to say 24.
Unfortunately, it is 9. 9 is the correct answer.
What? It was only 9 times?
Only 9 times. It said like 3 times in a row, how bizarre, how bizarre, how bizarre. And he only does that 3 times.
Oh, great. Okay, Yeah, that makes sense.
It's weird.
In my heart, he did 69, though. But
yeah, I think in his
heart.
He's
a bro, dude. Like, he does audience.
All right, what's a question you've got?
Who was the band originally started by? Was it by Pauly? Was it by Phil, his brother? Or was it by Alan Jansen, who co-wrote How Bizarre?
Ooh. I did not look this up. I'm going to say the last one. Jansen.
Ellen Jansen. The answer is Phil.
Phil.
Polly's brother actually started the band, then got Polly involved, and then Phil left, and then Polly took it on and made OMSI his persona.
I think who's the sibling mentioned at the top of the song? Brother Peel and Sweet Xena.
Yeah.
Which is that referring to his father? Brother? Oh, it is.
His father, brother.
his brother. Yeah, I just pulled this up on Genius. It actually is. Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense because like Phil would have probably been like Peel. Like that might be in a New Zealand accent.
Oh, like, I see that. Yeah. Yeah, Peel is Phil, and then his sister Christina is Xena.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
That is very cool. But yeah, so his brother actually started it. And he's also considered to be like the godfather of like South Auckland music as well. He has like a whole history to himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which could have been a question, but I ruined it. So, you know, let's move on.
No, I had no idea. The more you know.
The more you know. Stars in front of us now. Imagine.
This one's already a giveaway question because we said it at the very top of the show, but I'm going to say it anyway because I like the answers. What does OMC stand for? Atora Millionaires Club? Oh my God, or Offensive Missile Combat?
Ooh, I like it that God. Is it Oh My Cod?
Oh My Cod. Yes, I said God. Okay. Oh My Cod. Yeah,
because that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I have to admit, it's definitely Otara's Millionaire Club. I can't be wrong about that one. I have my pride.
Oi, that is.
Is it? Oh, hello. No. Is it actually? Oh my God!
What the biggest twist if it wasn't? And I was just doing the long con this whole show, and it's like, I'm gonna fucking get him with this question at the end.
Long con.
Of course,
I'm a comedian. I know how to do this. I'm a professional. You're welcome. So it's Oh My Cod. That's cool. That's awesome. Yep. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They named that because cod is an official fish of New Zealand.
Yeah, it is the fish. That's the only fish they get. Tiny island. They have a lot of choices.
The generic cod.
The generic cod. Who would have known? An entire country. All right. I'm gonna see. Okay. So, I don't have this in multiple choice, so I'm just gonna leave you hanging and see if you can answer this question. Maybe you already know it. So the band briefly got back together and recorded a song called "For All of Us" in 2007. Which famous New Zealand actress did it feature?
Ooh. Who's even from New Zealand?
Great question. No one knows. this will be news to everyone.
I'm gonna say Liv Tyler.
Ooh, that's a nice choice in general. out of all the choices I gave you. Good choice. No, it's none other than Lucy Lawless, who played Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh wow. I did not know she was from New Zealand.
I didn't either. And then I told my girlfriend that, and she's like, "You didn't know?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm an idiot."
Everyone knows this.
Apparently everybody knew it except us, Ian. So that's why we're friends.
How bizarre. Never gets old.
It's making me crazy.
Ooh, baby.
But yeah, for all of us, it's like kind of like I listened to it. It's like kind of an emotional song about like the New Zealand people being together and being one. And Lucy Lawless has some like nice tones that she sings in the song. Yeah, I didn't realize that she also didn't
know. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think I know that she sang either.
Yeah, she's in the music video and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I'll link that in the references.
It's definitely I liked it. It's a good song. Like it's for sure a solid song. But yeah, there you go.
Let's see. My next question. How Bizarre was featured in what live-action Disney remake? Remake of another live-action Disney movie. Was it The Shaggy Dog, The Parent Trap, or Herbie, Revenge of the Love Bug?
Ooh, okay. This actually is a hard question for me. I feel like the only one I've actually... Well, I've seen Parent Trap like years ago. Years and years and years ago. I'm going to guess Herbie.
Unfortunately, incorrect. And I don't think that movie exists. But no, it was the 90s remake of Parent Trap with the Lohan. I was going to say the Lohans, but it's one Lohan duplicated. But yeah, it's played lightly in the background. You can barely hear it, but it's there.
That's very cool. That was back at a time where, you know, Lindsay Lohan was like a Disney star.
Oh, absolutely. And I think she was also in a Herbie movie that I think about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was.
Yeah. Yeah, bring back Herbie.
Yeah, bring back the Herb. But yeah, interesting. That's very cool. Let me see if I got something else I could turn into a question, because I also gave away a lot of
fun facts. I've got two more. Yeah,
you got two. Oh god damn. Okay, all right. I don't know how much of a question this is, but who is considered to be the most successful Polynesian artist of all time?
Ooh, Takiti Waititi.
Oh, interesting. Maybe now that is true, actually. When I look this up, it's Polly himself.
Oh, wow. I mean, this, he must have had so many royalties and everything from the song.
From what I read, he made $50,000 a year just on royalties until his death.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, I feel like Peter Jackson might be excluded from that then, too, because between Takiti and I feel like I'm butchering his name. And Peter Jackson.
Taika.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was way off. Yeah. I just see a bunch of I's and K's and T's. And
the only reason I know it's Taika Waititi is because after... what's the movie that just came out? I'm terrible with names.
Jojo?
Jojo Rabbit. After it came out, I really loved it, and I watched a lot of interviews with him. And so they would always mention his name, and I'd be like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
Oh, thank God they mentioned it again.
His interviews are very entertaining.
Yeah, he's a super entertaining guy.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to meet him someday. He's like the kind of guy you want to get a beer with, you know?
That's true. It would have been great to have him on this podcast to talk about how bizarre.
Honestly, yes.
That would have been amazing.
He could correct us. And don't breathe fire.
New Zealand would have a voice, finally. I'm like two white guys from America telling New Zealand what their history is about.
Let me see what my next question is. The convertible, the Chevy in the music video, on the license plate, it is personalized.
Yes.
Does it say OMC? Does it say money? Or does it say YOLO?
It says OMC. I actually know that one.
Yep, that is in fact correct. Which means they're...
Lead the party down. That's the answer to the question, but I actually know, because I wrote that down as a note for the music video. I was like, I gotta get all the notes I can. Drinking coffee, listening to chill music.
Oh no, that was the same. I got a Trenta cold brew, which is the size at Starbucks they don't even put on the menu because it's too big.
Oh, what?
I mean, it's like slightly larger than a venti.
Yeah, that's interesting. They don't advertise it, but no, you know what?
No. Fun fact.
There you go. Fun fact. They Starbucks are liars. They don't love you. They never have.
Nope. Just like me for all of my listeners and guests. such disdain.
Oh no.
Do you have any more?
I'm trying to come up with one.
No, you don't have to come up with one.
No, I can do this. You got one question, so do I.
Wait, are you making up facts now?
Hold on a second. let's see. All these questions I could come up with are like super lame. They're not fun questions. I'm gonna yield my time.
Okay. This one last question. The song mentions, of course, a poster for a circus. Which of the following animals is not mentioned?
Ooh.
Is it an elephant, a lion, or a hippo?
Oh, man. This is a good question. I feel like lion was there. And then the other ones were hippo, and what was the other option?
Elephant, lion, and hippo.
I'm going to guess hippo.
That is correct. Yeah. Yeah. I closed the lyrics, so I didn't. But yes, it's lions mentioned, elephant. I think monkey. I think there's another animal, but hippo's not mentioned.
Oh, man. I feel so accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, because elephants, big part of the story. Big part of the story. They just leave.
How bizarre.
How bizarre, you know? And good for them.
I lost track, but I think you got like most of these right. I'm going to say 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A solid C.
Oh, no. The grading system's different in New Zealand. They're a lot more generous. In fact, they don't do any tests at all.
What?
No. So, but you get 3 out of 5 zoo posters.
Yay. Hell yeah.
No, wait. No, circus. It's not even for the zoo.
pretty much. I think you did very well on my end, too. I did not keep score, but I'm assuming you aced it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did great. Ian, you're a winner.
Thank you. And on that note, we'll head to second final break. We'll come back with a little improvised segment.
Ooh. Ooh.
And welcome back to Wonders One Hit Wonder Podcast. I am still Ian Zandi, and this is still Sumner.
Hey, I'm back again.
Where'd you go this time?
That time I went to the bathroom, but I don't want to talk about that. Unless that's that kind of a podcast.
Talking shit. Here,
right? Talking shit.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Shit. How was it?
It was good. It flowed nice and easy. And
all right, thank you. That was another episode of Talking Shit.
Cool podcast.
Thank you. One season. That was a one-hit wonder of podcast.
Yeah. A lot of history for that podcast.
Yes.
A lot of history.
Big fan base, but we know we're too good for them to make
one. Yeah, and we don't have the time.
Too good. On that note, we are both comedians. I've done some improv. Have you done some improv?
Yes. I have done some.
Very convincing.
Very convincing. I believe I did that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not great at it at all. But this is, it's fun. We get to build a world that we've talked about and just do bits, which we've been doing the whole podcast. But a more organized bit about a scenario. Is Ooh. There anything specifically you want to do a scene about?
Judges? Are we going to... Not getting anything
from. Let me see. Going back through some of the things, just to mention some topics. Do a scene about being pulled over in convertible, in the back of a limo, throwing money. We do about New Zealanders breathing fire. What else?
Oh, we could just do the circus.
The circus.
Circus. All right. I don't know. We're at the circus, working at the circus. Carnies.
Carnies at the New Zealand circus.
New Zealand circus.
I'm not going to do an accent.
You know what? Good choice. Good call. Wow. Man, Jonas.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Oh, dude, I love working at the circus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of my hobby. It's not my passion, though.
Oh, you're not that passionate about this?
No.
I hired you because you said you were passionate about the circus.
I'm really good in interviews, but then I reveal my true secrets.
Wow. Okay. This is kind of making a lot more sense because, like, every time I ask you to do something, you never have done it. I think actually one time I asked you to clean up the elephant poo, and then you just kind of like shoved the shovel into my hands and was like, I got to peace out and hang out with the bitches. And I was like, you know what? Okay, that sounds good. And now that I'm looking back at that, as a manager, I think I failed you.
Yeah, I kind of want my expectations set higher for that. But you seem to just be a real pushover, so I thought I'd get away with it.
Yeah, I've been doing all the work. I'm now realizing this is not. Look, how about this? I'm gonna give you another chance. All right, yeah. I've got the shovel here.
Huh?
All right. I'm going to hand it over to you. All right. It's got a lot of poo still on it, so I apologize.
This is elephant shit.
It's all elephant shit. In fact, I don't even know if there's a shovel in there. It might just be elephant shit I just handed to you.
All right. I'm holding it now. Hey, what's that over there? Here, hold this real quick.
All okay. Right. Make sure don't breathe any fire around this, okay?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, the shit's flammable.
Yes, of course it's all flammable.
Oh, how bizarre.
Oh, it's making me crazy.
Every time I look around.
Every time I look around.
Oh, the tent's on fire now.
Oh, it's in my face.
Hold on. I'll call the New Zealand fire department. Hello?
New Zealand Fire Department. We've got an enormous fire over here. We accidentally breathed on the elephant poop.
That's the third one this week.
Really?
Yep. A lot of shit fires from circus.
Oh, okay. Would you be able to come down and take a look at it?
Well, I'm doing another one right now.
Oh, you're in the middle of one right now?
Yeah. I got you on Bluetooth.
I know this is something that I should know because it's my job, but how many circuses are in town?
Well, here in the Kiwi culture, we love circuses. So
I know. As a Kiwi myself, I am very aware.
I would say north of five.
North of five?
Less than 10. 10? Less than 10.
That's a good number. That's a solid number.
Wait. I'll let you guess how many fires we got going.
Okay, all right. If there's 10 circuses and if everybody breathes fire, are there 10 fires?
That's correct.
I knew it. That's man.
Anyway,
are we just short firemen? Why can't you get someone down here?
Yeah, we lost one last week.
Oh no, out of the two?
That's right. Just me who answers the phone, and then the guy who actually puts out the fires.
Oh, you're answering the phone as you're putting out fires?
Oh, no. I don't put out the fires. I just answer the phone. Oh, no.
So the fires are going, you know, it's putting them out.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Was there someone else I could call?
Yeah, we got Joe down the street.
Okay, let me call him. I'll see you later.
All right, bye.
Hello, Joe. Are you on the phone?
Yep. What's up?
Hey, Joe. Well, first of all, half the circus has been destroyed at
happy
this point.
New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. Sorry, I forgot about our customs. Happy New Year to you as well.
What were you saying?
Sorry. Oi. Does that translate better?
No, that's Brazilian.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm speaking English, our native tongue. Joe, I've got an enormous fire. We breathed our fire breath onto elephant poo. And at this point, I think the elephants have probably run into town. I need either help with a fire or elephants that are running into town.
I got a giant net we could set up and kind of trap them like stormtroopers in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's great. That'd be awesome. Right. We cut to downtown Auckland, elephants running around. Oh. All right, Joe, you've got one side of this net, right?
Yep, I got it tight with my fatty fingers.
All right, let me see if I can find another person here. There's so little people on this island and in this town. Oh, you 5-year-old. Yeah, can you hold on to this? Of course I can. Okay, thank you, sassy child.
Here comes the elephant.
Wow, no. Oh, man.
Wow, it did work. It worked. Net.
How bizarre. I couldn't agree more, sassy child.
And scene. Oh, that went a lot better than, I don't know what I expected. But
you didn't expect some real New Zealand culture?
No.
Neither did I. Neither did I, Ian. That was fun.
That was such chaotic fun. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, no problem. This has been a lot of fun. I'd love to come back someday. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's a fun thing. There's like a bazillion one-hit wonders, so this could go on forever. Wow. Is there anything you want to plug?
What do I want to plug? Well, you mentioned up the top. I am in a sketch group called Friendo. A little bit on hiatus at the moment with COVID and whatnot, but I think we're working on stuff. So that's good. That's positive. And then Ari Not Entertained. It's between me, Noah DeBow, and Jackie Wynn. Ian, you're a gracious host here. Sometimes it's in some episodes, which is fun. You can catch our live Twitch show every second Sunday at 9 p.m. We're on the Pack Theaters Twitch, and we're also on Sort of TV Network's Twitch as well. So 9 p.m. there. And then we also have a YouTube channel, and you can check out all of our sketches there. We put up a new sketch every week, and you can also follow us on Instagram. I'm looking it up because I'm really good at marketing. And our Instagram.
I'll add it in the show description too for you.
Oh, thank God. it's a long one. It's Are You Entertained Show, all spelled out. But yeah, those are oh, and this podcast. You should listen to this podcast. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah, for my plugs, you can follow this podcast. The platform that I use is Instagram for this one mostly. And then beyond that, I guess stand up shows and stuff, you know, I post them all. I post too much. I post quips. So you can catch all that on Twitter and whatnot.
I sometimes post, and it's of my cat because he's much more interesting than I am.
Wait, and let's go back to that. Your cat's name is Cake?
His name's Cake. When I got him at the shelter, I told him, I was like, oh, I kind of want a chill cat. And they're like, oh, have you seen Cake before? And I was like, what? What a weird name. And then they showed me Cake, and I was like, oh, this cat's great. And then I took him home. And I didn't know what to name him. And I told my friends, oh, this name is Cake for the time being. And they're like, that's the name. You cannot change it. That is a great name. And I was like, all right. So it's really, I'm a pushover.
Nice.
I'm a pushover. I'm unimaginative and a pushover.
Would you say that it's more like Cake the band or Cake the food?
More like Cake from Aria, from Are You Not Entertained? From, he is in a couple of sketches. Adventure Time.
Ooh.
There's Finn and Jake, but then there are the parallel universe of Finn and Jake, and I don't remember the woman's name, but she, instead of a dog, has a cat named Cake.
Oh, I do recall, I've seen like clips of that, only a couple of random episodes of Adventure Time, but that's a series I want to get to at some point.
Yes, that's an amazing show, really, really good show, and if you like that, definitely watch, what is it, Steven Universe? And Steven Universe for
the
future.
Yes, that's another one also, on my deck that I need to see.
Amazing shows, yeah. So I'm plugging other people's stuff.
Shows that are already well watched.
Yeah.
But no.
I'm okay, but these shows, they are quite.
They're both ended, I think. I don't.
Yeah, they have no more new episodes, but definitely check that out first. Oh, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Also watch that one. I got plugged for
also
days.
Over.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, check out Sumner's stuff, check out all the TV shows, check out my stuff. Until next week, next Monday, thank you.
Bye.